Good morning, church. How is everybody? Welcome. Glad you're worshiping with us. I want to welcome our live stream worshipers. I want to say a special shout out, Ned and Roberta Cantwell. I don't know how many of y'all remember Ned and Roberta. They had to move to the Metroplex, 2 years ago or so. They watch us every Sunday and worship with us online. Ned and Roberta, we miss you. We love you. Everybody say hi, Ned and Roberta. All right. Let's invite the Holy Spirit in this place. Can we do that? Father, you are so good to us. You love us. We love you back. We ask you now, would you send your Holy Spirit into this place? We ask that everything we think and sing and speak would lift high your name, the name that is above every name, Jesus. And we pray it in that precious name. Amen. If you'll rise if you're able, let's worship together.
Good morning. Sing with us.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came. Atoning, then I repented of my sin.
children, if you will hold where you are for just 1 second, we have some other things to announce.
Okay. In 3 days, we have our team from our church going to Panama, our mission team, to do some ministry to a village in Panama. And what we've done in prior years and what we're doing again this year is we've got some bandanas with different colors for the people that will be on this trip. And we had early service, got some prayer partners for them, and we want to offer that to you this morning. Let me read these names. Millie, you want to come on up? Okay. If I read your name and you're not already up here, then come on up. Some are not able to be here. They're crunching some extra hours in the hospital or whatever so that it'll open them up to be able to go on the trip. So some of them are not here, and that's okay. Dr. Steve Lyon, Kara Lyon, Dr. Tommy Farrell, Olivia Farrell, Brandon Getz. Now, is Brandon here this morning? He's working. Well, be sure and tell him I said this. Whoever prays for Brandon needs to be a true prayer warrior. I mean, like crazy prayer warrior. Okay, be sure and tell him I said that. Okay. Millie Getz, Jane Nielsen, Maria Martin, Olivia Merlin, David Ceballos and Cindy Ceballos are the couple that will be hosting the group that lives there in Panama, that are doing their missionaries in Panama. And then there will be 3 translators that will be helping the team as well. And we have a bandana for them as well. So, how many is that, Millie? 14. So we need 14 prayers to come on up. Grab you a bandana and stay up here if you would. We're going to pray over the team and over you guys. Red, it matches your personality, Mike. Red Raiders. Oh, come on, man. Two left. One left. One more prayer. Here we go. Here we go. Jim, we got one coming to relieve you, right behind you. Jamie, there you go. Okay, everybody got their bandana. Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you for people that are willing to be your instruments to hurting people. Father, you have told us that we are to be Christ's ambassadors as though you were making your appeal through us. And so, that Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall on this team, would fall on this village that will be loved on. Father, I pray for physical and spiritual protection for the team as they travel. Lord, I just pray that this will be a fruitful time together. Lord, I pray that as they pass out aspirin and any sort of medications or do any sort of medical treatments, I pray, God, that the people receive more than medicine. They'll receive the love of Jesus. They will know, Jesus, that you have not forgotten them, you have not forsaken them, that you send these people to love on your behalf. Again, I pray blessing, safety, and peace on this trip, and fruitfulness on this trip. Thank you for those, God, that have stepped up and said, I'll pray. Lord, they may not be able to go, but they'll pray. And I pray that you'd bring the person that they are praying for, make them mindful on a very consistent basis while they're gone. Lord, just again, we love you. We thank you that the blessing of being ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's what we offer, that's what we have, and it's everything. Lord, bless this team in Jesus' name. Amen. As they make their way back to their seat, children, You can make your way up here and meet Miss Carlene for the children's message.
Scoot up a little bit more. How are y'all this morning? Everybody good this morning? Yes? Everybody awake this morning?
No?
Okay. Oh, a few more summer days that you get to sleep in, right? Yes, before school starts. Yes. Huh? So you want summer to be forever? All right. I know. It would be kind of fun, but we need winter and spring and fall to all happen too, right? Yes. All right. Well, good. Well, I'm excited that you're here today, and I'm excited to see your beautiful smiles this morning. Can y'all give me a big smile? All right. Okay. So I have a question for you today. If you could be any kind of animal, what would you be?
An axolotl.
Think a cat? A dog?
Dog.
Logan? An animal.
I think I got an elephant.
An elephant. Very good. Okay. What?
A dog.
A dog? Okay. Ellen? Got to think about that? You want me to come back to you? Okay. A cat? Piper? What animal would you be?
A giraffe.
Sophie? A what? An orca. Okay. A fish? An elephant. All right. So we can be all kinds of animals, right? We can pretend, and animals are fun. God created the animals, right? He created each one of them so unique. So I have an animal in my bag that I think I might like to be. And it's a sheep. Or a lamb. That's right. Do y'all like sheep?
Yes.
They're fun, aren't they? Yes. And they're fluffy and... Yes, and have you ever petted it? Have you ever petted? Would it be? Is it a petted sheep? Do you pet a sheep? Yeah, you want to pet one? Okay. Well, I don't have a real sheep, so this is just my. This is just a stuffed sheep. Okay. So I think a sheep would be fun. So I got to thinking. A wooden sheep. Okay. Yep. And so I was thinking about sheep. And so I was praying about what I was going to talk about today, and I thought, let's talk about sheep. Do you know in the Bible that sheep are mentioned 400 times in the Bible? They talked a lot about sheep, didn't they? Yes, they did. So that's a very interesting fact. But then I also found out some more interesting things about sheep, okay? A grown female sheep is called a ewe. Not the letter U, but an E-W-E, right? A grown male sheep is called anybody know? A ram, okay? And then a baby sheep are called, what?
Lambs,
that's right. And then there was a couple of these things I didn't know. There is over 1,000 different breeds of sheep worldwide. Oh, that's a lot of different breeds of sheep, right? Yeah, okay. And then this one was fun, I thought. In the country of New Zealand, there are more sheep than people. For every one person, there is 10 sheep. So everybody can have their own sheep farm at their house, right? Yep. So here, would you like to hold that for me for a minute? Okay. And then a lamb can find its mother by the sound of the bleep that the sheep makes. Did you know that? Yeah, the lamb can find its mother because the way she sounds. Isn't that incredible? Yeah. Can you find, if your mother starts hollering for you, do you know it's your mother?
Sometimes.
Yes, you should know. Yes. And then every sheep looks different, even though they all kind of look alike, but they're all different. And even though we can't see that they're different, that the other sheep know they're different. Yeah, they all look the same. Sheep all look the same, right? To me, they all look the same, but they're fun. Yeah. And then, of course, what I mentioned, that they are mentioned in the Bible, sheep are mentioned 400 times. That's a lot of times to be talking about sheep, right? So, yeah. But then I got to thinking, we have some things in common with sheep. Have you ever thought of yourself about having some things in common with a sheep? Yeah? Okay. Do what? We both have hair. You're right, but we don't have to shear our hair, do we? No. Okay. Well, so some things that we have in common with sheep. Sheeps are followers. If one sheep moves, all the other sheep will just follow him along. And even though it may not be a good decision, they just follow along. Okay? They don't pay attention to what's going on. But do you know we sometimes follow other people that don't make good decisions? Did you know that? Have you ever followed, maybe made a bad decision or a hard decision or a wrong decision? Yeah. But sometimes we follow other people that we shouldn't. Okay? And then it says sometimes sheep wander off. They just get busy. They just start wandering off. And they're grazing and they're not paying attention to what they're doing. And they just wander off. And they can't find their way home. Would you like to be a sheep and not find your way home?
No,
that's right. Well, sometimes we also wander off from who? Who do we wander off of? From God. All the things that he's taught us. Because guess what we do? Do we get busy?
Yes.
Do we get busy with school and playing and video games and riding our bikes that we just kind of wander off, right? Yeah. And then, but a sheep, one thing about a sheep is they always have a shepherd with them. Do you know what a shepherd is? That's the person that's in charge of the sheep. Is it important that that somebody be in charge of the sheep? Because they would just wander off and they would just kind of not be following. They'd follow other things that were going on around there. So they need a shepherd. And that shepherd will watch over them and get them back where they need to go and get them back home and take care of them. And if he had 100 sheep, and he would count all the sheep to make sure he had 100. But if he didn't have 100, would he go look for those other sheep? Yes, he would, because he needed to take care of those sheep, those shepherds. The shepherd needs to take care of the sheep. Well, do you know we have a shepherd that takes care of us? Who is our shepherd?
God,
that's right. Is he watching over us?
Yes.
Does he help us if we wander off?
Yes.
Does he help us if we get lost?
Yes.
Does he help us?
How
do what? The police do? Yes, the police do. Yes. But a shepherd also helps us. He loves us. He watches over us. He's with us all the time. And he doesn't want any of us to get lost, does he? Is he going to go look for us if we get lost? Yes, because he's always there. So we have a good shepherd. And it says in Isaiah 53:6, it says, "We are all like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." So we're like sheep. He's talking in the Bible. It tells us that we're like sheep. And we've gone astray. We've kind of been wandering. And then it says in Psalms 23:1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." So we can remember that God is with us all the time. Even when we get busy, we can always come back. Because Jesus is there gathering us in and watching over us. And is with us all the time. Just like the shepherd watches over the sheep. Okay? All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us so much, and I thank you that you sent your son Jesus as our shepherd, because we need you. He watches over us, and we thank you that you watch over us all the time, and that you are with us, and that you lead us back home, Lord Jesus. And thank you for all these boys and girls, and just bless our time. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You want to carry my sheep? Okay.
Well, good morning. Good to see everyone. This morning, if you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Great truths from Scripture that unite our hearts. I want to encourage you, if you're worshiping in our building, to go ahead and check into the online service through our app. If you're worshiping with us at home, glad that you've joined us. Encourage you to check into the online service there. Not only do we have the Panama mission trip this week, also we have a mid-high camp that's going to take place at Camp Butman this week. We've got 13 young people that are going to that camp. We have six from our church that are serving in different capacities. Brent Aiken is actually leading that camp, and our youth worship team is leading worship for that camp. What a great opportunity for them to do that. And so I'd like to pray over that this morning. So if you are here and you're involved in leadership, if you're a counselor, worship team leader, or if you're a camper that's going to the camp, I would invite you to stand. We'd love to pray for you. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if you feel free to stand up, we'd love to lay hands on you and pray for you. And let's gather around these that are standing, please. So this is for the young people. I just want to encourage you this week. I know that you'll be there with your friends, and you'll have a good time, but there are times to focus on your friends, and there are times to focus on the Lord. And just ask the Lord about that this week. Okay? He wants to meet with you desperately. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for opportunities for us to encounter you in new, unique ways. And I thank you for this group of people from our church, not just our church, but from all churches that are going to be involved in this effort this week. I pray for Camp Butman. I pray for the leadership of that camp. I pray for Jeff Robinson and the team, Lord God, that they are healthy, that they are that they're safe. Lord, I just pray against anything the enemy would try to do to disrupt your plans there this week. God, I pray for a mighty hedge of protection around that camp. And Lord, your word says you go before us. And so we're trusting that you're going to go and make a way for this week. So bless the camp leadership. I pray for Brent and the team as they assemble, as they pour themselves out for these young people. God, I just pray that you give them supernatural rest when they're tired. I pray that you give them wisdom if they're come up against situations that they weren't expecting. I know, Lord, that there is a schedule for this week, and Holy Spirit, if you want to interrupt that schedule, disrupt that schedule, please do so, and give them the wisdom to follow your lead. And God, I pray for these young men and women that are going. God, I just pray for just a deep touch from you for them. Some of them may not even know who you are, Jesus, and I pray that they come to know you as a personal friend, as a personal Lord, as a personal Savior. And those that do know you, Lord, I just pray that you take them deeper into the mysteries of who you are. Pour out your Spirit on them. Father, they need you to navigate the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years of their life. So may it start this week. Empower them to rise above their culture. Empower them to rise above their peers. Those that may not share the same values, God, would you help them to represent you well, Jesus, but at the same time help them to rise above the temptations of the day. Lord, bless them. We commit this week to you, commit these young people to you, we commit this team to you, and ask that you use all of them for your glory. And we pray the prayer of Jesus you taught your disciples to pray. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Once again, church, thank you so much for your financial faithfulness. Our offering boxes are still located by the doors. Giving options are on the screen. I want to encourage you again this week, like we do every week, if you have a prayer need this morning, please see our prayer team after the service. They would love to pray for you. Also, if you want to have prayer from our church, but choose not to engage with the prayer team, just slip a prayer card in one of our offering boxes and we'll be praying over that need as well. Let's continue to worship the Lord together.
Yeah.
Once again, good morning, church. Glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. If you are our guest, we're especially glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit that we just sang about and to. And you feel the love of Christ's people. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe and says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you at the end of the service. I'll be out at this end of the foyer. Have a free gift for our guests. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 23. Anybody ever heard of Psalm 23 before? We'll talk more about that in just a moment. I normally read, now, Jesus, Billy claims that Jesus's favorite Bible version is what?
New American Standard.
That's Jesus's preference, is what Billy says. But I don't know about that. I normally read and preach from the 1984 version of the NIV. Today we're gonna read from the New King James Version, and I'll tell you, most of us have. Am I getting warmer, Jim? Right? Am I okay? Most of us have heard and memorized the Psalm 23 from the King James Version, but I don't talketh like a thateth. So, there's nothing wrong with the King James Version. I just have trouble understanding it. The New King James Version is they kind of sweetened up the language to more modern. So, but it's a little more familiar to us in that version. So, Psalm 23. I want you to read this with me. Can we do that? The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. If you'll bow with me. Holy Spirit, we have invited you, and indeed you are welcome here. We don't want you to just be with us, but we want you to speak to us. Would you speak in power and authority, Holy Spirit, and would you transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So you saw on your bulletin probably that we're starting a new sermon series, and I also put this in my email this week, called Sheepish. And to this week, we're going to take, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to take a verse at a time, and we're going to walk through Psalm 23 and see what the Lord may be trying to speak to us. I went back and looked. I originally preached a similar series on Psalm 23 in 2012. That shows I've been around a little while here. I thank you for not running me off yet. But when I preached the first week by the way, did I say this message is on contentment? Did I say that? Okay, Lee. Somebody wake Lee up back there. Go to the next slide. I just said it. I'm fixing to come back there. You know. By the way, Carlene said something about when your mama's voice or whatever, you know your mama's voice. Well, I also, my mom had an eyebrow too that kind of went up, and when the voice or the eyebrow, anyway, that's another deal. You're fixed to get the voice and the eyebrow, Lee.
I'm awake.
Woo, okay. How much we paying you anyway? I don't know. So I preached this similar series in 2012, and after the first week, I started getting these gifts. The first week, I got. I'm going to ask Lee to put it up there. We'll see if he can do it. Hey-o. Okay, so I got this stuff down. That sheep is about, it's big. And I've had that in my office since 2012. I got that sheep, and, you know, he's affectionately known as Wooly. And kids have played with that in my office since 2012. And then the next week, I got another sheep. A little smaller, but I still have that sheep. And then the next week, Mark, where's Mark? Mark said he was the black sheep of the family. You needed a black sheep. So Anyway, and then the next week, I'm so disappointed that I couldn't get this to work. Is David Gist here?
No.
Oh, David. David Gist brought, it doesn't, they wore it out, David. This little, I guess that's a sheep. And it used to have a little dip button you'd push and it, I wish it worked. But his head would bob and he'd play this really weird kind of disgusting music. So thank you, David. So that's the only time I've gotten four gifts for a sermon series before. But anyway, so we're gonna dissect this psalm a little bit over the next six weeks. But I wanna kind of give credit to some of you may have read this. It's an older book. It's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, and it's by a guy named, it's a pretty small book, it's a pretty short read. Philip Keller was the man's name that wrote it, but he actually spent some time as a, I don't know, is it a rancher, sheep rancher, or sheep herd? Well, they don't really herd them anymore, but anyway, he worked with sheep. He owned sheep, he raised sheep, and he wrote this from the perspective of a shepherd on Psalm 23. And so we're going to just dive in here. We're looking at verse 1 today, and there's a lot I think the Lord is trying to teach us. First of all, we are like sheep. We are like sheep. So David, King David, we know in his youth that he was a shepherd. We know that he watched over his father's flock, and David wrote this psalm, and he's referring to himself in first person, referring to himself as a sheep, because if the Lord is my shepherd, that he's basically saying, I'm a sheep in his flock. So this metaphor, this we are like sheep, it's found, as I think Carlene said, some 400 times that sheep are mentioned in God's Word. This metaphor of us being like sheep is found throughout God's Word. And it's just think about it, this beautiful little lamb, and we can think, what a beautiful analogy that us being this beautiful little lamb. But I'm afraid to tell you, hate to shatter your bubble, but it's not a flattering analogy. Sheep are, here's five things that we know about sheep. First of all, sheep are by nature weak. They're easily overpowered by predators. They're just weak little creatures. They're helpless. They get lost easy. They can't even clean themselves or manicure themselves and take care of themselves. They're totally helpless. They're defenseless. They have no defense mechanism. They don't have any claws or sharp teeth, or they're not fast. They don't, even their coat is not impenetrable. You know, I was telling the early service, even a skunk has a defense mechanism. I'm glad we're not referred to as skunks, but they're weak, they're helpless, they're defenseless, and they're totally dependent. They're totally dependent. They are at the mercy of the shepherd. And yes, church, they are dumb. Sheep are dumb. I mean, there's no other way around it. I'm thinking that I'm starting to see a pattern here why God may have been referring to us as sheep. They will eat poisonous plants. They don't know, as Carlene was telling the children, if one of them walks right off of a cliff, the rest of them will just walk right off the cliff too. They're just not smart animals. And to demonstrate that, here is a live short video. Lee, roll that videotape. See, that poor little sheep is stuck, and that he's going to be saved. They're going to take care of him. See, he's out. He's safe now. Yeah, there we go. Okay. All right. Now, We laugh, but how many of us do that right there in real life? The Lord pulls us out of a jam, pulls us out of a mess, and we find ourselves right back in another mess. because, as Isaiah put it, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way. So, sheep need a shepherd. Second point, sheep belong to their shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm trying to put myself in David's position here. It's almost like he's boasting about who his shepherd is. It's almost like he's saying, you know who my shepherd is? Let me tell you about my shepherd. My shepherd is the Lord. He's the one that takes care of me. He's the one that sees that I'm okay. Even though I'm defenseless, the Lord is my shepherd. I belong to the Lord. Philip Keller, that I was telling you about from the book, he talks about when he first started his sheep ranch, that he worked and worked. He was a young man, and he said, I worked and worked and worked, saving money to buy my first sheep. And he said, so I go and I purchase. He started off with 30 ewes, and he said, when I purchased them and I took them home, and he said, man, you talk about great pride of ownership. These were my sheep. He was so proud because he had worked so hard and he had purchased these sheep and they were his. He was thrilled to call them his very own. In fact, I don't know if they do this anymore, but when he was working with the sheep, they would put a mark, a cut on their ear, which would symbolize, and it was consistent with that owner. It was consistent with that and proved who they belonged to. This sheep belongs to this shepherd. He said, my sheep were blessed to have me as their owner. He said, because I provided the richest, most abundant field for them. He said, I fertilized and I worked this field and I had it ready for them when I purchased them and I brought them into my field. He said, every sheep envied my sheep because I had these rich, plush fields for them to graze on. And he tells this story. He said, I had a neighbor who also raised sheep. And in his words, he said, that neighbor had no business owning sheep because his fields were dirt and rocks. And he said, his sheep were neglected. They were diseased and malnourished. And he said, I can remember, and he said, I couldn't believe it at the time, but I can remember my sheep were in this lush field where every need they had was taken care of, and they had plenty of rich grass to graze on. And these other sheep from my neighbor, he said, they would come to the fence and they would poke their head through the fence, and he said, it was like these sheep were longing to be in my field where they could be under the care of me as their shepherd. It reminds me of our shepherd and the enemy. Jesus is the good shepherd. He loves and cares for and provides for his sheep. Satan has no concern for his flock. He, in fact, just the opposite. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus is our shepherd, the good shepherd. And He's so proud of his sheep. I want you to feel that this morning. I want you to feel his pride in you. And he's purchased you. He's purchased me. And he's provided a place for us, which leads me to my third point. The sheep are cared for by their shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. In David's day, in biblical days, shepherds lived with their sheep. They lived with their sheep. They cared for their sheep. They protected their sheep. I remember this story out of 1 Samuel, and I think I've put this a couple of verses in your handout there. 1 Samuel 17, you know, so So Goliath had come against the army of Israel, and none of the warriors of Israel had the bravery to face Goliath. And David was a teenager, and they had to go retrieve him, and he comes in and he says, I tell you what, I'll face Goliath. Listen to what he says, 1 Samuel 17. David said to Saul, the king of Israel at that time, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Church, we have a shepherd that has purchased us. He cares for us. He provides for us. He protects us. And part of that care, I want to show you another video. I've showed this a few years ago, but I want you, as you watch this video, I want you to picture yourself as this lost sheep that they retrieve. Go ahead, Lee.
He's forgotten somehow, lost in the forest at least 5 years. I think he was a bit shell-shocked when he arrived. He couldn't really see because the wool had grown over his eyes. It must have been so incredibly painful. The local chap saw this mammoth moving amongst the trees and had to look twice. And it turned out to be the sheep, so he texted us to see if we could take the sheep on, which we readily said yes. I can't imagine how he survived, but he did. Another sheep was with him, letting him know everything's okay.
This is a good place to be, old mate.
He had over 35 kilos worth of wool on him. That tells how long the poor fellow had been out there. Had to get the police off, but we knew that was a huge risk to his health and safety, but leaving it on was a greater risk. It actually took nearly an hour to get up because we had to go into hand scissors. I said it was matted and he had bits of sticks and twigs, all sorts of things in his wool. I really believe he knew we were helping him. He stood there and let us do it, which was just amazing because he was obviously scared, but he also felt confident in the things that we were doing for him. When we got the fleece off him, we finally relieved him of his burden. As he walked down the alleyway, he started to get stronger in his legs. Had Chloe and Molly, they were on the other side so they could see each other through the stores.
Yeah. That's the best sign.
You know, as they were trimming off 77 pounds of that dead, matted, twig-infested wool, that's what the Lord does for us. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. He cleans us up. And as I watched that, I don't know if anybody else was relating, as I watched them shear that old, dead, heavy wool off of that sheep, it just reminds me of what the Lord has done for me, what he's done for you. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, which leads me to my final point here. Surrendering to the shepherd's care leads to contentment. It doesn't lead to an easy life where nothing ever bad ever happens, no challenges come our way. It's not that's not what David is saying here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's saying, because I'm part of Christ's flock, I lack nothing. I'm content, utterly content. That sort of contentment, it doesn't come naturally to us. It comes from abiding in Jesus, understanding we're under the care of the Good Shepherd. Jesus, again, told a story that illustrates his care for his sheep. Luke 15, Jesus told this parable, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. That's the heart of the Good Shepherd. He seeks us when we're lost. The Lord delights in the sheep of his flock. Do you feel that this morning, that he delights in you? You know, we know ourselves, other than the Lord, we know ourselves better than anyone. And we may feel unworthy of that. But look, the Lord knows even more about you than you know about you. And yet, he says, if one of my sheep are lost, I'm going to set everything aside and I'm going to go search for that sheep until I find it, and then I'm going to rejoice. That's the heart of our Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you bow your heads with me. Lord, you're so good. You're such a good shepherd. Thank you for the care that you provide for us when we're all matted up, like that sheep in that video, when we're all matted up and we're weighed down by the issues and the struggles of this world, you come and you're so gentle with us. And you very carefully cut away all the weight that's weighing us down. We're no longer helpless and defenseless because we have you as our shepherd. You care for us. You've provided a rich pasture for us where it's safe and we're well fed and taken care of. And you delight in us. You've proven your love for us on the cross. While we were yet sinners, you died for us. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. So one thing you'll find there in your handout, if you're looking at that, you get homework today for this week. You don't get homework every Sunday. I want you to write that verse. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Write it down. Say it at least once a day this week. Learn it. Because we're going to end up learning the whole psalm in the next 6 weeks. Write one thing below that you are thankful for. One thing each day of this next week, and be content in your blessings, church. Let's rise as we continue to worship. The altar is always open. Says, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Church, that is good news. He delights in you. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.